CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Judy Dempsey, Senior Fellow of the Carnegie Europe, Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe. And Judy's going to guide me to the German elections. Crystal ball time, Judy. All right, we have coalition politics in Germany that make no sense to those of us with bicameral legislation and a presidential election every 4 years. But here's what I understand. Germany loves coalitions. And the coalition right now leading is called the Traffic Light Coalition. I won't name it because I haven't got the acronyms. However, you start your wonderful essay with a quiz question. The three leading candidates, Baerbock for the Greens, Schulz for the SPD, and Laschet for Angela Merkel's party, the CDU. What capital will you visit first? It was wonderful. I couldn't guess. I got the wrong answers. Laschet said he'll get back to us. Baerbock said Brussels, and Schulz, the leading candidate, said Paris. You picked Paris as the right answer. Why so, Judy?
Because the future of Europe, its economic direction, its political integration, its fiscal direction, rests on a very special alliance between Berlin and Paris. No matter what anybody says, Europe moves when these two countries act together. And in some ways, Europe didn't move fast enough when Angela Merkel was in office. The future of Europe and a program for Europe was driven by President Emmanuel Macron when he became president in 2017. And he pushed for a stronger Europe, a more integrated Europe, and he was waiting for Angela Merkel to reply and come up with her plan, and she didn't. And so in some ways, Macron was left out to hang and dry, waiting for Berlin to come up with an answer. And between the euro crisis and so many other issues, and Belarus and Ukraine and Russia, and so on, Merkel didn't jump at the idea of moving Europe towards a direction of more integration.
We have now an election imminent. Schulz is well in the lead, if I understand coalition politics. How will that change the map? Because you register a couple of possibilities. One is the leaning towards Moscow. Another is that Laschet himself, disappointed, will be replaced by a much stronger leader for CDU, meaning that there'll be friction in Berlin. So with Schulz in the chancellery, with Schulz heading a coalition that includes the Greens, does this mean a softer soft power Europe? Does this mean a new direction, or does this open an opportunity, other possibility, for Macron to take the leadership because he has an election next year that we'll hear much about?
I have to disappoint your listeners and say, we don't know. We don't know the outcome for the simple reason that there are many undecided votes out there. And we don't know the level of abstention. And opinion polls show that many, many people are actually very disappointed with the three candidates. So they might stay at home, or they might split the votes completely. That's the first thing. Secondly, opinion polls have gotten wrong in the past in the United States, in France, in German local elections here. We have to be extremely careful. But if Olaf Scholz, the candidate for the Social Democrats, did get the chancellery, there's no doubt he will have to share power. And I'm not going to go into the whole dynamics of coalition building. It's all speculation. But the chances are that if he is chancellor, he will push for a little bit of integration. As for moving Europe towards a greater defense and security mechanism, I'm not quite sure he would do this, because there's a left wing of the party he has to contend with. The Greens, actually, curiously, are much more pro-NATO than some aspects of the Social Democrats. But if it was a green-red coalition, as it was in the late 1990s, and this was a coalition that actually supported the NATO mission, the bombing mission against the Serb militias in Kosovo, they may surprise us. But if Scholz is in the chancellery, there'll be some incremental change as regards European integration. But then Scholz will have to wait until the French elections, just as Macron is waiting for the German elections to see who his new partner is going to be.
Scholz and Macron, Is that a combination that makes
they get on very well?
Yes,
they get on very well. They know each other. Scholz is a very experienced politician. I mean, he has his ups and downs with some strange corruption or mismanagement cases, both in the finance ministry. But he's liked in Paris, and actually he was instrumental in pushing a kind of more fiscal integration during the Corona crisis. So I think there's a feeling in the Elysee Palace that they could do real, they could move things ahead. But, you know, Macron hasn't got much time. But curiously, a Scholz victory might help Macron in some ways.
We've spent all these minutes and we haven't mentioned Boris Johnson. So here at the end, Boris Johnson has just shuffled his cabinet. Okay, fine. Churchill did that often. My familiarity with cabinet shuffling is that you need a scorecard. Fine. Is Johnson someone to integrate with Macron and Scholz? Is this the big three capitals?
No, this is over. Brexit is there. Britain is out. The balance of power has changed because Britain has left the European Union, firstly. Secondly, Britain and the United States and Australia has now done this big mega security deal.
Yes.
I mean, this is just mega. And how is this going to affect Britain's relationship with forging any kind of contacts with European defence ambitions? How is it going to affect Britain's relationship with NATO? But essentially, this is Britain, Australia, America, actually ignoring France, which is a big liability, at a time when France is sorely needed for its strategic outlook, for its capabilities, for its role in the Indo-Pacific region, and for its role in Mali. To actually ignore France at this stage is highly short-sighted. But one thing is certain, Johnson may feel vindicated. Ah, yes, global Britain is back. Thank you very much, President Biden, for including me in this deal with Australia.
Final thoughts, Judy, because we'll continue this conversation. I can conclude that it's all a hooey, but you also make it possible that there's a lot of fertile ground here for repositioning. Is that fair to say where we are right now? 30 seconds.
There is a ground for repositioning, but if Berlin and Paris and The Hague want to do this repositioning, first they have to define their interests, secondly need the common strategy, and thirdly they have to bring the other member states on board. This is the future of the European Union. NATO is weak, America has its own interests, we have to know where we're going to go.
Judy Dempsey, non-resident senior fellow, Carnegie Europe, editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, which I highly recommend. You just give your email and you'll get all of the contacts, including very fun quiz questions about which capital would you visit first. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.